steering wheel detachment, steering loss, and of course, most popularly, the self-driving and the fatal accident involving self-driving. And so that's just at one division of the U.S. Department of Transportation. At the, over next door at the FAA, they recently fined SpaceX about $600,000 based on their conclusion that SpaceX had improperly conducted two launches last year out of Florida that they were not compliant with safety requirements. So that's two divisions of DOT. There's also a the transportation also was investigating. This is the Pipeline Hazardous Material Safety Administration, another division of transportation. So that's three different agencies in the one cabinet department. Find Neuralink, which is building implants into brains to help people, you know, who are either disabled to see again or to maybe to walk again. But Neuralink was shipping hazardous materials without a hazardous materials permit. So that was another investigation and fine. So, I mean, that's just one federal agencies, well, but it goes on and on. There's over a dozen.
Eric,
the Department of Justice.
We're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank you for being with us. Eric Lipton, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, investigative reporter at The New York Times, will link to your piece. U.S. agencies fund and fight with Elon Musk. A Trump presidency could give him power over them. That does it for our show. A very happy birthday to Ravi Karan, and wishing you all health. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
Election season is here, and at KBOO, we want Portlanders to be prepared to face their ballots with confidence. We've got a brand new limited series coming to our airwaves and your favorite podcast platform. It's called Running on Air, a daily radio roundtable conversation with the people running to represent Portland. Every weekday, your favorite KBOO host will be facilitating a deeper conversation with these candidates, so tune in. Find the full schedule on our website, kboo.fm/runningonair. Listen to any episodes of Running on Air that you miss on the KBOO website or wherever you get your podcasts. That's kboo.fm/runningonair.
Are you eloquent, an elephant? Can you converse in chimpanzee? Have a heart-to-heart in horse or chat with a cow? Me neither, but we can definitely speak for them. Hi, I'm Michelle Coppola, inviting you to join me every fourth Friday of the month at 10 a.m. for Voices for the Animals, where we give a voice to the issues, concerns, and welfare of the other non-human creatures on the planet. Until we can have in-depth discussions in dolphin or yak, well, in yak, it's a great way to learn about how we can make this a more humane world. Voices for the Animals, every fourth Friday of the month at 10 a.m. only here on KBOO.
I'm Mr. KBOO.FM. Them should know it's accurate. Kabaka Pyramid say, watch your step, you know what I mean?
Good morning, and you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Today is Monday, and you are here. If you are listening, via the radio waves in Portland, 90.7, 104.3 in Corvallis, 91.9 in Hood River, KBOO.FM via the World Wide Web, and everywhere you are here. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I'm your host this day, and thank you so much for joining us and being a part of this radio program. So much is happening in our world. We have been off the air for a couple of weeks, and yes, the world is still here, knock on wood, and hopefully as we endeavor to create a better world, we will make sure that it will continue, and that depends on people of goodwill, such as yourselves, enabled to create good spaces, regardless of the obstacles you face. Those are things that are important, and part of the endeavor and part of the commitment of this radio station and this program is to make sure that all people, all voices are heard, and that include your voice. So I invite you, as the program continues, to call in and be a part of our radio program, 503-231-8187. That's the way you can call in and be a part of our morning conversation. In a few minutes, you might have something of urgent importance to share with us, and so I invite you to share what you have with those of us who are listening, and we as a community can engage in meaningful conversations, which I'm sure many of us are happening over the dining room table, or in the supermarket, or in the park as we walk our animals, or in the school as we wait to pick up our children. There are so many things that are urgent and that you may would like to talk about. I'm excited because I live here in Portland, Oregon, and I finally got my ballot late last week, and so I have the ability to fill out my ballot and engage in some issues. But there are so many things that are on the ballot and so many issues. So I would invite you, are there to share, are there any issues or races, political races you are undecided about? I often joke that those who claim to be undecided in the presidential race, it must be about 13,000 people in the nation who are undecided, and they are living in, I don't know, Pennsylvania or Arizona or some other, or North Carolina or Georgia, who are supposed to be the swing states. So those are things that are important, but there are people who are undecided, and perhaps if there are races, if you're undecided about the presidential race, that is certainly valid. But are there other races in your areas that you are concerned about or debating and would like some more clarifications? Not only political candidates, but there are a number of ballot measures, certainly throughout the nations, that people will be responding to and attending to. So are there certain campaign issues, ballot measures that you are anxious to vote for or against? Or are there things that you are undecided? What measures do you feel strongly for or against, and why? Why are these things important? And let us know. Again, our phone numbers are 503-231-8187. And we will go to our first caller. Janet is calling. Good morning, Janet. How are you?
Actually, I'm feeling pretty frustrated in a couple of different ways. I was happy then the last time I spoke with you for you to have a factual background when I kind of come along about having been engaged in 68 with the fact that the DNC, and then we kind of went out there and we're trying to stop the war in Vietnam, that it wasn't until 70-something. I was thinking how that relates right now to the fact that the sidebar of about everything that we're doing is that we're citizens of a country and paying taxes for a country that is actually subsidizing a genocide, being kind of tied at the hip with the Israel lobby. And I think the excruciating undercurrents psychologically in connection with that, to me, are so overwhelming that I try to be thinking how to engage normally in regular conversation about ordinary topics that that we try to engage with each other as human beings. I find that like really excruciating to be thinking that the undercurrent of that is like so hugely evident that the sidebar prevails. Maybe people are not getting any information about what's happening as far as taking down hospitals, taking down schools, taking down bakeries, taking down mosques, etc.
Let me ask you, you talk about frustration and the challenge of being engaged in the ordinary. How are you engaged or have not been engaged in these conversations? Why are they difficult to have?
Well, let me give a small example. Try to be thinking, it's really important to be sincere and have friends and to maintain friendships. And then it's also really important for me to be honest. And then it's also really somewhat difficult for me just individually, as kind of a born activist, to hold my tongue when I would have a nice, friendly engagement with whoever. And quite a few people, like a lot of people that I know, that will be kind of thinking, this person, they're so interesting and so smart and so well-read, and so, you know, maybe fun to do this, that, and whatever with. Then it would get to the point where they would be saying, isn't that great that we assassinated Sinwar, and it's going to be all over now, or to be thinking, this is so exciting. Well, I mean, to tell you the truth, I would be thinking, oh, here comes Hillary Clinton, and are we going to go up there and kiss her ass even after this, that? And then I have recently made the most extraordinary friendship, which is the one I hold most dear, recently, of a family of Haitian people, and be thinking, the history of that country is pretty extraordinary with freeing the slaves and what they've done, and then that they can even be pleasant and cheerful and heartfelt. And I'm thinking, I've told it so important to be heartfelt in my conversations with people and to be sincere and to speak truth to you know what I'm sensing and what I know as a person. And when all this other stuff from people that I would generally be like to spend some time with, be thinking, to tell you the truth, when some people I know who are maybe whatever background they have are people my age whose parents were Holocaust survivors, to be thinking, oh yeah, to tell you the truth, I really want to see all the Palestinians die, especially the children. People are just saying that, even here in this country, because I find a really important thing is that the mindset of some people are in Israel are thinking, even the soldiers, enough. Like, they got to the point where our soldiers in Vietnam were thinking, enough. They had about had it, and so the morale of the arm of the U.S. soldiers. The U.S. Soldiers for Peace, I think we have one guy on KABU that does a show on Friday, must be very, very difficult to work through this stuff as a soldier.
Right.
For me, very difficult as just a human being.
Yeah, I think you touch upon many important points. Among those are your affirmation of the importance of being sincere and to be honest. And when we lead with those, I think we can begin to engage in difficult conversations with those who we may find challenging. But to speak your truth, And also for me, respectfully, knowing that the other person is coming from a different perspective. But I think what you said, to be sincere and to be honest, are very important to begin to have meaningful, transformative conversations. Hey, Janet. Go ahead.
You have an important show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling, and stay well. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I invite you to give us a call, 503-231-8187. As we approach the end of October, there so many things are happening in our world. Our last caller, Janet, shared some of their concerns about how people engage with one another. And Janet mentioned how important it is for her to be sincere and to be honest. And when you're having difficult conversations with your neighbors and your friends and with your families, how important it is to speak your truth, I think, is something that I gained from my conversation with Janet this morning. What are things that are important to you? Are there issues? Are there measures that you are undecided about? Are there candidates? Are there things around the elections that you are still seeking answers for? I mentioned that late last week, here in Multnomah County, I received received my ballot, and you know, part of the electoral traditions here in this part of the country is, you know, you receive your ballot and you fill it out and you look at your voter's pamphlets and you come to some reasonable decisions. You fill out your ballot and you go and place it either in the ballot box anytime between now and November 5th at 8 p.m. and it's over. So, are there things that you are still undecided about, or things that you are still questioning? I invite you to give us a call and share your thoughts. What are those measures that are on your ballot that you are still trying to figure out? And those of you who are in Multnomah, well, certainly in the state of Oregon, one of the ballot measure is will vote is whether or not to go to ranked choice voting for our state. Those in Multnomah, Portland City will have ranked choice voting in the city council and the mayoral election, and those in Multnomah County will have ranked choice voting in 2025. And one of the measures for the state of Oregon is to make this statewide. What are your thoughts? In the meantime, we do have a caller. Please continue to listen in and then give us a call with your thoughts. But first, let's go to our caller. Okay, Mark.
Good morning.
First. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good morning. I uploaded two important articles on IndieBay.org. One on Sunday titled "We Need to Talk About Peace" by Marcus Zeller, who was once an indoctrinated Moonie. And the article today is titled
And his name again?
Is Marcus Zeller.
Okay.
The article today that I uploaded is titled "People Without a Center" by Lily. Let's see. It's Lily Gebert, G-E-B-E-R-T, and she's only 28 years old. The article is filled with references to Eric Fromm and his very important work, Escape from Freedom. Mm-hmm. And she claims and she argues, I think very, very rightly, that people are caught in having, in possessing, and that actually blocks their being and their recognition of their alienation, disconnection.
That people
are alienated from themselves, from one another, from the environment.
Right.
And this is because of identifying themselves with their possessions.
Well, that's an I think that's an important insight that, that you share with us. And in terms of alienation, certainly you reference Eric Fromm and the article by Lily Gilbert, People Without a Center. And certainly Eric Fromm, you know, that's a name I haven't heard since, you know, the 60s or 70s. But that that this young adult referenced this person. Reference Eric Fromm and talks about alienation, I think is very powerful in terms of where we are as a society now.
According to Eric Fromm, this is a reason for people's submission to authoritarian leaders.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To foreign influences altogether.
Yes.
So. IndieBay.org is our only indie media website. LA Indie Media went down about 2 months ago.
Okay. But
so it's people can comment immediately, and we desperately need to follow alternative, critical, independent media.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, thank you so much for that reference and for pointing us to that source of information.
Thank you, Cecil, for your passion and your truth-telling.
Thank you.
Okay.
Be well. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott, and let's talk to with Lenita. Good morning, Lenita.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for asking. Happy Monday morning to you and your listeners. I just wanted to answer your question about engagement and what we're not talking about during this election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate Althea Billings, what is it, Running on Air, the series that she did.
Yes.
And the one thing that struck me about interviews with the candidates for city council and for the mayor is how the houselessness issue has just sucked up all the oxygen in the room. There's, it doesn't appear to be any other issues discussed. And I know that, and in saying that, I recognize and acknowledge that's an important issue.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got my tax bill last week, I got to wondering about why my taxes so high. Who keeps voting yes for all this stuff? And it's really affecting people who own homes on a limited income, low-income homeowners like myself, low to medium class, that are really, really struggling to make ends meet. Yeah. And those issues are not getting addressed, nor are the issues related to senior citizens and the quality of education in Portland. So when we look at the issues that people talk about locally, it seems to just focus on one or two issues relating to houselessness. And again, those are important issues and they need to be resolved. But there's so many other issues that are being ignored, and I think they are just as important.
So let me ask, why do you think that, in your words, houselessness, it's sucking up all the air, the issue, and how might it be effectively addressed, and why? Yeah.
Well, it should have been addressed effectively years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I have been in Portland a long time, and we've seen this rise of homelessness, houselessness, homelessness. And because it's not been addressed, we're still, you know, it's like people kick the issue down the road, or
yes,
the solutions that they came up with are not effective.
Hmm.
And there's a plethora of solutions. That mayoral candidate, Keith Wilson, he has some solutions, and other candidates have solutions. But candidates prior to them had solutions.
Right.
And you think about all that money they have in trying to address it, and it's still not solved.
Oh, yeah.
To the chagrin of other issues. And again, that's an important issue, but there's so many other issues out here that need to be addressed. And you're creating a lot of resentment from people.
Yes.
And we've all know what happens when the politics of resentment takes over. And I mean, look at our national stage. It's nothing but the politics of resentment on one party versus the other. Did I answer your question, Cecil?
It does, I guess. But I was hoping for, as you conclude, a breath of fresh air, hopefulness. Is there any?
Hopefulness on dealing with the issue of houselessness so we can start addressing other issues that have tangible solutions?
Hmm.
I don't know. I wish I could leave you with a breath of fresh air, Cecil, but you know, we've been dealing with this issue. I remember when I ran for city council in 2016, I talked about in the future there'll be two Portlands, one for folks that can afford it and one for folks that can't.
Okay.
And there are so many things thrown at the wall to deal with the issue of homelessness, and nothing seems to be sticking.
Right.
I mean, you go outside, you got campers, you got people, and bless their hearts, you know, they get, and then they get caught up in their own, so they get caught up in their own drug addiction, and it's like, I don't know, man. I don't see it being solved anytime in the near future, given the suggestions that exist. And now you got the city and council. I'm sorry. Now you got the city, and you got the county fighting each other.
One another, yeah.
And they're supposed to be leaders in this issue, and that's not a good omen, right?
No.
I wish I could leave a happy note. I guess the happy note is that we woke up this morning and we can still solve the issues. I wake up and I hear you very intelligently talking about the issue. You know, we wake up, we have people that love us. We wake up, we go to our square jobs, so we wake up and we do things that we love. We listen to music. So there's hope, the fact
okay.
that we woke up. Okay, is that better?
It's good enough. I can let you go now. You've given me some hope. So I woke up. And
thank you, Cecil.
Thank you, Lenita. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott. We will continue to broadcast for at least another half hour. Well, not at least. We will broadcast on this program for another 34 minutes. But until then, you may call 503-231-8187. Want to talk about elections, candidates, measures you're concerned about? Let's deal with it. Let's go to our next caller. Joan, good morning, Joan. Thank you for waiting.
Good morning. I keep trying to refrain from calling into this wonderful program, but I was so happy to hear what Lenita had to say, and now I have a point.
Oh, yes. And
it's the point of houselessness.
Mm.
Everybody's talking about the people with the addictions and the mental illness because these people are visible out there. And it's really time to stop blaming the victims. They are the victims of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's really talking about the other homeless people. I haven't heard the candidates talking about the old women who are the latest, newest demographic of increasing homeless people.
Mm.
And most of these people, I would think, because I know some of them, are not people with mental illness or addictions. They are people who simply can't afford to pay the outrageous rent.
Yes.
And I feel that the issue of homelessness will never be solved until the point of why the rents are so high is addressed. And I think it has to do with the real estate industry because people are cashing in on this.
Yes.
I think Senator Merkley seems to be onto something where he's talking about the hedge funds and the corporate land grabbers and people who have been coming into Oregon for a long time now, buying up properties, buying up buildings, buying up not one house. Someone comes here to buy a house very well, buying up blocks of houses to rent out and let deteriorate and flip and so on and so forth.
Right.
And it's the real estate industry, I feel, the fact that this is an industry at all, that is causing the problem nationally. And to look at the victims and blame them, there's no place for them to go. You run all the homeless people out of town. Where will they go? There's no place to go because it's a worldwide land grab phenomenon.
Yes.
It happened to the Native Americans, and it's continuing to happen. And until people look at that, you may not like the guy who's camping out on your sidewalk in front of your house, but he's not the root of the problem.
Right.
He's not the root of the problem. And there are a few people who are talking about, you know, that putting everybody into these mass shelters is not the idea. I've heard a few candidates come up with something that sound progressive, but nobody is really talking about or wants to talk about why we've got this problem in the first place.
Why do you think no one wants to or able to talk about why we have those problems?
Well, gosh, I'm not a realtor, but, you know, people want the value. It seems like people talk about that their wealth is in their house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your house is worth something. Excuse me, you get old, you can sell your house and retire. The house is worth something. The land is worth something. And people don't really see an end to that system, right? If you're locked into the system and you're locked into the fact that your wealth is in your house, you know, the solution might be land trusts, it might be housing co-ops. One solution is certainly not just to tell people to double up and, you know, everybody's supposed to, unrelated adults are supposed to live together in the same house. No.
Okay.
I actually tried that. It ended in disaster.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think people don't want to talk about it because the economy seems to be based on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if what happens if your house, which is artificially rated at $1 million house, what if it's no longer worth $1 million? Or what if the developers don't want to come in and develop, you know? And what if the corporations all leave Oregon? I think people are afraid of that.
Yeah, certainly.
You know, because the economy seems to be based on it. But
Thank you for raising this and showing how challenging and difficult it is to address. But also, I want to thank you for laying it out very clearly and just observing how massive this problem is, and also recognizing that houselessness, homelessness, in fact, various populations, and you noted one segment of the population, older women, and for your observation on land grabbers. A lot of work that needs to be done, and I think people such as yourself who are wise are people we need to hear from more. So thank you so much, Joan.
You're welcome, and it's not just me. You can read Street Roots. I'm sure a lot of people do. Street Roots runs articles on this kind of stuff all the time. There's one paper that's telling the truth. So thank you very much for letting me speak.
Thank you so much, Joan. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil. It is 832 503-231-8187. And we will speak to our next caller, Carl. Good morning.
Hi, Cecil.
Yes, good morning. How are you today?
Pretty darn good, really.
Oh.
And grateful for that. So, grateful for Lenita and Joan also. So I guess I think they're speaking, you know, they have wisdom, they have experience, and they have wisdom. And I think especially Lenita, I think we have to, I think wisdom has the ability to recognize what's a lost cause, right? And I think so much of the homeless thing is a lost cause because those people are in situations that are so far damaged that it's not, there's so many situations mostly that we can't fix. And now we'd like to, and we feel ashamed, but I don't think that's it's wise to be ashamed and feel like we, because we can't fix a lost cause. I think that we have to take the long view and we have to invest in the future. And that's like Lenita was talking about, taking care of our senior citizens that are mostly well, but they need help with just getting along, and also with educating our young people so that they don't wind up in these lost situations, right? And then the other thing, I think, you know, like Joan's talking about, you know, the money people, that they buy land, buy property, invest, you know, just because their whole life is about money, right? And in a way, that's a lost cause also. We can't change that. But we have to make, I think wisdom makes investments in the future, yeah. In the future of preventing homelessness, in the future of preventing an ideology of money being everything or the only thing in life that matters. So Right. Anyway, hey. I just have those comments, and really, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, the things that Lenita and Joan were saying, I believe, are true. And so
thank you.
That's all I got.
Hey, thank you, Carl, and thank you for reminding us in terms of wisdom and the words you had to say. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. Before we go to our next caller, I was reminded of, from Carl and Joan talking about the challenges in terms of houselessness. And land grabbers in particular, I'm aware of, I'm part of an organization, we're working on low-income housing, and properties all around, and saw a property and wanted to approach the owner and saying, you know, we were interested in this property because, you know, I'm not sure whether or not they said why we want it, but the intent was to build moderately priced housing for those who are struggling. Well, you know, what we had to offer certainly wasn't what some out-of-state land developer corporation had to offer. So instead of offering to our small nonprofit, we went to some land grabber, as one of the callers mentioned, and they'll either build a McMansion or something like that. And, you know, the as Carl said, the lost cause. I don't know if it's lost, but it remains a cause. But in the meantime, let's go to our next caller. And Linda has been waiting a long time. So, Linda, thank you for your patience and share with us your wisdom. Linda is still listening to a radio.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Linda.
Hi, thanks. I would like to say, taking Carl's lead, that I appreciate the great thinkers who've expressed their ideas before me on this program this morning.
Before you continue, can you turn down your radio? We're hearing that in the background.
I was trying to before.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I would also like to point out what Joan and Carl were leading to, that has been shown sort of to me in research.
Yes.
That the lost cause is residential investment property.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. We need to stop the feudalism that is the remnant in residential renting investment property. I'm sorry, it sounds like a very radical reveal.
No. Expand on this, please.
Okay, well, just like sharecropping ended, slavery, serfdom,
mm-hmm.
and some other feudalism, we ended, we also need to end investment property.
And define that.
Renting or having people spend most of their income mm-hmm. on a basic essential such as housing.
Mm-hmm.
We've made a mistake there, an error in trying to hang on to, like I said, that remnant.
Yes.
Of ancient times. I wanted to look up other countries and find out where might there not be homelessness. And I would turn first to the United Kingdom or to England.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what their actual situation is like, but I believe that they have such housing systems that there are few homeless, not like is going on with us. And again, it's you know, capitalism came mm-hmm. from feudalism,
right?
And we see a lot of benefits there, but I think we're still evolving.
Yes,
our societies, our civilization is still evolving, and hopefully, some people like it. It's just like I said. I've just learned it recently.
Yes,
how rental property is a leftover from
feudalism. That's an insightful observation. Thank you.
I hope I can introduce that as an idea for people to start thinking about. I don't know what the solution is, but just as I've forgotten the first lady's name, who I heard maybe Juanita. And then Joan and Lanita Carl.
Lanita and Joan and Carl, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, helped me articulate what I've learned.
Right.
I hope somebody can follow me and articulate maybe some solutions
yeah.
to the essential issues.
Hey, thank you so much, because I think what you're modeling for me is a way in which we can move beyond. You mentioned how you heard, you know, from other callers before you, Lanita and Joan and Carl, and how they built upon one another, and you, Linda, added, you know, information for us. And I think part of the solution is all of us listening and speaking with one another and moving forward. One of the things that an observation that was made some time ago, maybe by Lanita, you know, this certainly isn't a new reality, houselessness. But what I would say,
that's the problem.
Well, let me finish. What
you
I
know,
would
let me
finish, Linda. What I would say, that it's certainly not a new, and that what I was saying, that it's certainly a worldwide phenomenon when we look at migration patterns and we look at how the migration patterns, we look at climate change, and we look at the way the economies are built around the world. So some of these things you are hitting on, you're correct, they are not new, but we need to be determined to solve these.
Yes.
Well.
And I think something that occurred to me as you were speaking, that there are societies in which like feudalism or maybe sharecropping or something, you know, in
yeah.
serfdom like that, did not have a solid foundation, or they didn't keep any remnants. So I'd also wonder and like to find out what has happened in those societies, just as I'd like to find out what happens in others where there's much less homelessness.
Well, thank you for sharing, and I appreciate not only you, but all the other callers who, as you suggested, are building on one another in terms of stating what the issues are, the problems are, and hopefully working together for some common solutions that we can build a better society and bring in all people in. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, and you have a pleasant day. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO FM. It is 8:44 in the morning. Today is what is today? Today is the 21st of October. And if you would like to give us a call at numbers 503-231-8187. And for those of you who are like keeping your thoughts and your ballots ahead and thinking about, oh, I got to vote and there are so many more days I have left. Yes, there are but so many days. But there are issues that still need to be discussed, candidates that still need to be heard from. Are there candidates, are there issues that you are still either struggling with, undecided, or wanted something more? A few of our callers shared today about how they felt about certain issues. Janet began by sharing some observation about war and peace. Others talked about how important it is to engage in conversation about issues that impact our communities. And among those issues that we focus on this morning has been the issues of houselessness/homelessness. And various callers have shared their perspectives and their insight into these. And so it's so important for us to maintain an attitude of openness and being able to listen and then respond. We often have to remind ourselves to listen, to hear what the other person has to say, and listen until you hear them. Let's go to our next caller. Arthur has some words to share. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning to you, Cecil. I just want to make a comment here. Governor Kotek seems to be suffering from Benson High School syndrome. That's when you take hundreds of millions of dollars and you give it to large construction corporations to build apartments. Because public housing is really public apartments. So calling it a house when it's actually an apartment is I don't know if that's a sleight of hand or an obvious mistake, but there's a big difference between living in a home, a house, and living in an apartment. That's point one I was going to make, Cecil. The whole thing.
Wait a second. What's it? Expand. What's the difference between living in an apartment and living in a house?
I'll give you an example. I'll give you a clear example. There's a guy living in a regular neighborhood with regular houses just down the street from me, and he lives on a 25 by 30 foot lot in a school bus that he had converted into living quarters. He's got solar panels on top of it. He's got a couple of chickens in the yard for eggs, and he's got a small fire pit. He's got his own land. He's choosing to live in a bus, and he's improving on his home. And he has regular neighbors. Not all his neighbors are ex-homeless. By the way, I used to live in a tent for 1 year. Just to give you an idea, I'm not talking from a non-experienced viewpoint here. And these apartments, are they going to put methamphetamine users next to a sane person? You know, when I had my tent, there were some people in the street that were fairly normal and some people just insane thieves. Are you going to put, how is the screening process to work supposed to work? No one actually owns anything in the apartment. They can improve on it. Mm-hmm. So this whole thing about putting, oh, by the way, Benson High School, all that money is not going to increase student attendance. That's usually the quality of the teachers that does that. And I used to be a math teacher. Can you comment a little bit on that, Cecil?
Well, you, I was intrigued by what you were saying in terms of the difference between housing and the different types of housing and what you can do with property. Now, were you talking about actually home ownership or living in a house? You mentioned a person who lived on a bus on a piece of property. So are you advocating for people to have individual homes?
Land? Yeah, I think land. Yeah. I think land is far more important than being housed, because I mean you house animals in a zoo.
Okay.
I think if you give people land, most people I know, I mean these people are building shelters out of tarps.
Yeah.
You know, that's because they have to get rid of move there in a couple of weeks or months whenever right. they get swept.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is, let me ask you a question, Cecil.
Okay, we have to go on to our next caller, but
real quick,
go ahead.
Real quick, when properties are abandoned, does the city buy them itself? The option would be to keep them for people.
There was a problem with the transmission. Say that again.
When houses are abandoned, does the city buy them and sell them at auction, or do they turn them around for people living on the street?
Yeah,
I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, I don't know.
You might look into that. Thanks for calling. Let me give the next caller a chance. Thank
okay.
you.
Hey, thank you so Bye-bye. Much. Okay, have a great day, Arthur. And let's go back to our first caller of this morning. Janet, you're back.
Hey, love, peace, and good vibes. I wanted to try to end on a hopeful note because I appreciate your aspiration for something going forward. Mm-hmm. And I think the one thing I could think of that I'm involved in up here in my Think Globally, Act Locally agenda is to do kind of mutual aid with the gleaners. And so although I'm like a Jewish Buddhist, the fellowship up here, they welcome me, and we're involved in getting food out in our neighborhoods. So the opportunity to bring food is a mutual aid, I think, is hugely wonderful, that there's some fellowship that's kind of spiritual, that's non-denominational, where we do things for people. But then still, you know, the reality speaks to what's been talked about on your show so well about sharecropping. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I don't know the whole story of my friends doing Fiddler on the Roof, but the sharecropping aspect to what happened to the Palestinians who were living for ancestry on the land in places that were theirs, to be shunted off because of the migration of the Zionist movements, which started way forever back, that the settler colonialists like Jared Kushner talk about, get rid of them all and let's land grab on the West Bank. So on the it's 50-50. I'm trying to really go with you on the hopeful side. Mm-hmm. But some of these other points brought up are like down under that are pretty serious as well.
Yes.
So thanks for your great show.
Hey, thank you so much for your call and your thoughts and your insights. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott, and stay tuned for more programming here on your community radio station 24/7. Following this program, you may listen to the OMO Variety Hour if you are listening live. If you are listening when you are listening, if you are streaming this or on demand, you may go to kboo.fm and see the programs that are here, and tune in at any time to listen for information and for music and for news. at your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and this is More Talk Radio. And we began and we'll conclude our program this morning. We have a few minutes left. If you would like to give us a call, again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. But among, you know, we began our program by just observing that there are things that people are deciding, and a lot of what we hear in the on the air, receiving texts, so all around elections, about voting. There are many issues that are concerned, but as some of our callers have mentioned, that these issues are more than what happens on a certain date in terms of voting, and it encompasses many issues. And one issue that came up over and over again this morning is the difficulty people have finding housing for themselves and for their families. It is an issue that is, well, it's not only citywide or countywide or statewide, it is in fact worldwide phenomena, housing for people. What are those who are charged with public policy, what are their suggestions? What are their solutions? If this is an issue that concerns you, and I'm sure it is, we need to ask the questions, as the caller suggested. What are their suggestions? Those of you may ask your candidates for county commissioner or city council or state legislators. These are issues that I'm concerned about. Why should I vote for you? Let's go to our next caller, which may be our final caller. Doug, good morning, Doug. How are you? And share with us your words.
Thing. I think one is taxes. We've got to evaluate how we can have less taxes. Mm-hmm. And two is relative to that, is that how can we tax and manipulate the people coming in buying a bunch of homes? Mm. There are ways, and I think that if we could take some steps to making it less inviting to come in and buy a bunch of houses and turn it into a commodity, is very important.
Mm. Hey,
so that, I just wanted to throw those things into the mix real quick at the end.
Well,
have a great day.
Right, don't
your show,
don't go yet. Oh, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I wanted to say, how might you encourage less investment? I mean, what might we do?
Well, one of the things that's being done, and it needs to be increased, is we need to make buyers that are buying just for investment, pay a little more taxes.
Yes.
They need to pay in ways that make it not so inviting to buy these houses and keep increasing the prices.
Okay.
Because nobody can afford the houses now.
That's correct.
And if we don't do that, we're going to run into even more problems as it goes along.
Yes, yes. Hey, thank you, Doug. I think it's your observations are important. Thank you for your wisdom.
Well, thank you for your show. I appreciate it.
And you are listening to KBOO-FM, community power, community inspired, community owned radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott, and this is More Talk Radio. This program is a public affairs program that airs weekly on Monday on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. At 8 a.m. So, like, what time it is? What day is it? It's Monday or 8 a.m. Listen to More Talk Radio. But you may listen to KBOO 24 hours, 7 days a week. Music, information, different languages, different cultures. do yourself a favor and just turn on KBOO at an hour you don't normally do and see what you hear. Thank you so much for being a part of this community radio station, and you can continue to be a part of this community radio station by becoming a member. Go to our website, kboo.fm, and donate to see and be a participant of this community experience that has been going on for these many decades. And thank you all. Thank you for our marvelous engineer. How he juggles these things is tremendous. And all I do is sit here and talk. He does the magic. He picks up the phone and presses the buttons and things like that. So thank you all. Thank you all for being a part of this radio program. Thank you all for being part of this community. Stay tuned for more programming here on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott. Take care of yourself and be well.
Hi, this is Mark Sanford Gross, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934.